Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 23. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside. Take some Ponderosa pride and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Yee-haw! That's the tiniest little gun you've ever shot.
That's like one of them little derringers a lady holds in her garment.
I see it. Beautiful. Pearl handle and whatnot.
Yeah, except it goes on your finger. It's so tiny. It's a little garter around your finger with a tiny little derringer.
Man, oh man.
And once you shoot it, it's not worth anything to collectors.
Oh, yes, you can. It's got to be cherry and mint.
I can barely see the bullet hole in the ceiling. It just seems to blend in with the general design of the ceiling there.
Wild. That's a good one. Well, I should explain, you know, we for a while now, we were doing our episodes in Andy Richter's house.
Right.
But there was an incident wherein the house, for the most part, became more of a pile of ash. And for fire, it was fire.
Eternal flame.
Eternal flame, yeah. And so it just became untenable to stay there. And so we had to tell Andy, listen, buddy, we got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was upset.
If I remember correctly, it was a bit of we had to kind of confront him and say, you can't expect us to stay here with a burned down house.
Right, yeah. Right. And he was hopping mad about, about it, I guess.
Really.
Ungrateful. But we have moved on, and now we're sort of, you know, we took some time away. We're back now. We've been drifting around, and we've been kind of just looking at nice houses and knocking on the door and saying, may we record our podcast?
Hello.
Yeah.
Anybody home?
And sometimes I'm thinking they won't be home, and we'll find a way in and we'll record. Today we happen to be in a house where there is, it seems to be, a housekeeper and a sleeping baby.
That's right. Yeah. And don't wake a sleeping baby is the old slogan, I believe, which is FDR's, like, don't wake a sleeping giant.
Oh, yeah. Let sleeping giants lie.
Let sleeping babies lie. Lie.
Yeah.
But it's an old, toothless man who's the housekeeper. So He said it was fine. The baby will probably go to sleep, and yeah, it was fine.
He's one of them old men that has a full bald head on top, but then long white hair on the sides.
Yeah, and he's wearing like an apron. That's why I think he's like a housekeeper. He's got a uniform apron kind of thing.
Hustle your shanks in here for wild beans and side meat.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like if Nell from Give Me a Break met Riff Raff from a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's exactly what he looks like. Oh, I'm going to tell him that when we leave. Yeah. I didn't catch his name. Did you catch his name?
I think it was Jellybee.
Jellybee.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I remember him saying that. It was just Jellybee and a baby, and he's looking after the baby for the afternoon while. So we need to be just a hair quieter.
Yeah.
A sleeping baby in here. But anyways, it's a nice place to be recording. It's a lovely home.
Not bad, huh?
Uh-huh.
Warm.
Yep. Okay, well, folks, with that out of the way, what are we talking about today? Desert Justice, episode, season one, episode 23. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. And this is Welcome to Bananas for Bonanzas, the name of the show. And I'm Dalton Wilcox, cowboy poet, poet laureate of the West. And we talk about Bonanza on this show. And we got my usual co-host here. We got Mutt Taylor. Hey, Mutt.
Oh, hell, it's good to be back, even if it is for Desert Justice, the driest of all justices.
Yeah, man. That's just there's no humidity in that justice whatsoever. And Amy Sleverson, Christian Entrepreneur, is here.
Hello, I have so many more businesses ideas after this episode, I gotta tell you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
And I have also been inspired by Joel Osteen, prosperity preacher. My husband and I are gonna start a mega church.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow.
Now, I just heard a story about him there where a plumber found hundreds of thousands of dollars in his wall. Did you read about that?
That makes sense because if I remember correctly, one of his books is called Joel Osteen's Ass Full of Champagne and Not a Cork in Sight.
Yeah, you didn't hear that story. It was
no, just for real.
It was a plumber. There was a problem with the toilet, and he had a smash through the tile and found like $600,000 in there.
It's a 14,000 square foot house because that's what God wants for all of us outside of Dallas.
Yeah. I didn't know Joel Osteen. Does he call himself a prosperity preacher?
That is what he doesn't believe in talking about sin or about hell. He just says, keep it positive. High and tight, ladies. Smiles.
Is he just straight up insulating his house with money instead of that, like, Pink Panther fuzz?
Well, that's what they recommend. But it's prohibitively expensive, but nothing insulates a house like cash.
I see.
I've heard that before. So I'm not surprised he's got the money to do it. Go ahead and do it.
So, Amy, are you doing the prosperity gospel then? How's it going?
What we're trying to make a bid on a stadium. And there aren't many for sale. So we're just thinking maybe we could build our own on a landfill.
Oh, okay. So you got to buy a landfill.
There's a nice landfill in Kentucky.
Oh, sure.
That the stink isn't too bad. And so we just think, you know, I mean, I want to believe. You've got to believe.
Yeah.
You've got to believe. And my husband has deputized me to make the decision. So as soon as I want to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Are you still working with Mother Barbara? We heard about her last time.
Oh, Mother Barbara. Well, we have my husband and I, who are basically the congregation. We made a real decision, you know, that said, you know, Mother Barbara was kind of taking too much power, and she had a lot of health issues that seemed to be based in Lyme disease, but she just couldn't seem to get over it, which I understand is a part of those kind of things that you pick up in the forest. But come on.
Oh, she had Lyme disease, and it was becoming cumbersome on your enterprise.
Well, we were, you know, five years in.
Yeah. You know, that's enough Lyme disease.
Yeah, she get them ticks.
Well, I mean, it was initially just antibiotics, but then she started getting into all this crazy stuff.
Oh,
and you know, and she wasn't interested at all in my my products as help. I have a, well, I have a vaping company now.
Oh.
It's healthy vaping. It's without the nicotine. It just makes everything smell. So,
smell like what? What kind of odors have you got?
Well, tobacco, cilantro is one of our most popular scents.
Really? I love cilantro.
Or strawberry jello.
Oh, sure.
My husband loves sausage.
So you're telling me I could put something up to my mouth and I could breathe in, but I'm not breathing in nicotine.
No.
I'm just breathing in whatever. And when I exhale, the whole room's going to smell like sausage?
A mist of kale.
Okay.
How are these different? Forgive me. How are these different from air fresheners?
It's a no way an air freshener. What it is an applied mood, scent mood to your home and your lifestyle. So, yes, it may be coming out, you're sucking it in and out of your mouth, the banana bread spices, but it isn't something you just plug in and you can only smell around an outlet in your bathroom.
Okay, I do apologize. So it's different from an air freshener in that you
Bring your own as fuck. Air freshener.
Bring your own air freshener as fuck.
Okay, all right. I'm just catching up.
It's all right. Yeah, well, I think that's a fantastic idea because you know what? You got an air freshener. You put it in one room of your house. You can only smell it in that one room of your house. But if you like the smell, you want it with you all the time. Right. So you should be blowing it wherever you go.
One my favorite is just called lotion.
Okay.
So that I just smell like lotion without having to put it on. Oh, right?
Yeah, cut out the middleman, kind of.
Yeah.
Get a different middleman.
I was going to say, you do smell like lotion today.
And I don't know if you've been vaping or rubbing.
That's right.
Or both.
But I've been told I'm not supposed to comment on how people smell anymore. I've heard too many feelings, so I didn't say it.
Oh, jeez. But tell me about it. The last time I said, oh, you smell like strawberry jello. It was a compliment. And they took it all wrong.
Oh.
They said, oh, do you have a problem with jello? And I said, no. And then we both just laughed.
Oh, well, I'm glad it ended happily. Well, yeah, that sounds fraught. All right. So now it's just you and your husband just getting this stadium together. And this is going to be the mega church. I was going to suggest, do you know about hog waste lagoons?
What?
Oh, I do know about the hog confinement systems where, you know, ways to keep hogs in one place but not affect the meat with their mental state. You have to give them just enough room so they don't go mad and affect the quality of the chop.
You can taste it when a pig's been too cooped up.
Yeah, you can
taste it. Yeah. I'll send it right back to the kitchen.
I sometimes take a bite of pork and go, cabin fever. I don't think so.
Not today, my friend. No. Back to the kitchen.
I would have ordered veal if I wanted torture.
Hell yeah.
And I do.
Uh-huh. Well, what they do is they gather up a hog waste and they put it in a giant lagoon sometimes. And it's a hog waste lagoon is what they call it. It's just a beautiful lake of hog waste. And at a certain point, it's full and then they'll sort of pave over it and you can build whatever you want on there.
How many seats is that?
I think it would be more of an arena than a stadium, but that's not bad.
We're hoping 54,000.
Well, that's a lot.
Have you
that's
considered an old Indian burial ground? From movies I watch, that turns out okay usually.
Yeah, they don't mind. They don't mind. They're up in the happy hunting ground, as we learned in episode one of Bonanza,
way back when, or two. Right. And in Bone Tomahawk.
Bone Tomahawk.
I'll look into these mud flows?
Hog waste lagoon.
Lagoon.
Yeah, everybody loves a lagoon.
What are you going to call your church? Because now mega churches are all like the rock, the life.
Yeah, the mount of the... yeah, see.
It's like cool. We're going to call it guilty until proven innocent. Like a perfume. A perfume.
Man, that is fantastic marketing. Where do you have a church home? Yes, I go to guilty until proven innocent. Damn.
Hell yeah.
This is going to be huge. Yeah. I can't believe we're hearing about it. Like, and this is like you're sitting across from Johnny Cash, him saying, I'm thinking of becoming a musician.
Yeah.
This is wild.
And you can just abbreviate it and call a church guppy.
Oh, are you a guppy? Yeah, that's great. It's
guilty
slang.
Until proven. Oh, man. That does spell guppy.
Or goopy.
God
goopy.
Damn.
Goopy might be better.
This is fantastic. Well, I almost hate to change the subject onto the episode we're talking about today, but you know I don't really. Because we got a hell of an episode to talk about today. By the way, we do not have a guest today. We just said forget it. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. Everybody I reached out to said, no, you may not do it in my home. So that was a deal breaker for me. I guess Andy Richter's been calling people. I don't know what. But here, today we're talking about Season 1, Episode 23, Desert Justice. And this episode has brawling and deception and glued on facial injuries. And it's got a character whose last name changes from scene to scene. That's a real thing on this show.
Oh, it sure is. We got revolving accents.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. And we have wonderful jarring transitions from outdoor location shooting to the soundstage. Again, I love it when they do that. Yeah. And this episode, man, this was a good one. It was written. Are you ready for some fun facts?
Fun facts.
Don't you mean living for some fun facts?
Yeah, these facts I think you'll agree are fun. It was written by Donald Sanford. This is his third of three episodes of Bonanza he wrote. We've seen his whole body of work on
Rule
Bonanza.
Of three.
Rule of three. Oh, yeah. Three and out.
This is a Sanford trilogy?
Part of the Sanford trilogy. And the conclusion of the Sanford trilogy. He wrote a movie called Midway. Listen to the cast.
Wow.
Charlton Heston, yeah. Henry Fonda, James Coburn, Hal Holbrook, Toshiro Mifune, Robert Mitchum, Cliff Robertson, Robert Wagner, and Pat Morita.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, unbelievable.
Reads like Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
A lot of characters.
Yeah. And well, so Pat Morita begot Charlton Heston, who begot David Mitchum. Begat. What is the tense? Anyway, go on.
There's a lot of begetting going on there. And this fella, later, he wrote a lot. And then he became chief executive officer of Stansberry Incorporated, a mining company specializing in vermiculite. Isn't that interesting?
Do you think he used the Dietersheimer method?
He didn't write that episode, did he? I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe that's what happened. He's researching mining, timbering, and he says, he gets just stuck in his head that whole time. Now I know what to do.
It is weird to think that we as Mutt, Amy, and Dalton, not as anybody else's.
No.
Are going to be actual experts about the show.
Well, that's
absolutely
true. Well, and as you read the facts, mm-hmm. I realize this is an additional to the canon of Christian literature that we can now interpret these facts in whatever way we want, for homilies and sermons and all sorts of activities,
right.
New holidays, that are Bonanza based.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah. A Bonanza-based calendar of holidays. It's the Feast of St. Haas or whatever.
Yeah, it's Dietersheimer Eve. What are you guys doing?
What are you guys doing? That's a great idea. Well, so that's David Sanford, and now he's got into mining. And then we got Claude Akins. Claude Akins, big guest star in this episode. First time I saw him, I said, oh, that's Sheriff Lobo.
Sure.
Right? But then I said to myself, how do I know Sheriff Lobo? Well, he was the sort of an antagonist on BJ and the Bear. Remember BJ and the Bear?
Yeah, until he got a spinoff. Is that right?
He got a spinoff called The Misadventures. The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo. And BJ and the Bear, I guess it only had two seasons, but it was fella. He was a freelance trucker who had a chimpanzee and got into trouble from town to town. But in the second season, they retooled the show. It says here in the second season, BJ is unable. Oh, he starts his own trucking company. He says he's unable to hire experienced truckers and is forced to hire seven beautiful young female truckers, including twins Terry and Jerry, no-nonsense Angie, and a busty blonde nicknamed Stax. That's what the show became into season two.
Well,
you filth?
Jesus. I used to watch that show, and I must not have seen season two.
Same here.
But I had a large stuffed Which one was BJ and which one was Bear? Because I think it's always the other
one. BJ McKay, and this is my best friend, Bear.
Okay, Bear. Yeah, Bear. I had Bear, a stuffed bear. He must have been, I want to say 3 to 4 feet tall, but then I got to adjust for deflation. I was probably 3 feet tall, so it was probably a foot and a half tall.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's still a big chimpanzee for a small fella. Yep. Well, that was a great show, and Claude Akins was on there.
That's like my relationship with God.
Well, oh, yeah.
How so? Where I thought God was this massive force, and then it turns out it's not that effective, you know?
What's not effective, God?
Well, the Lord.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know, like in terms Amy. Of, like, oh, are you, you know, can you ask for specific things? I thought you could. And then it's like, no.
Oh, I see.
And the thing is about the Lord is you have to interpret whatever it is he's given you as what you wanted.
And how's that going to work for prosperity gospel? You can't ask for anything. You just have to take.
Well, you say, I'm getting exactly what I want. And then you look at what you have and turns out that's what you always wanted.
It's a perfect system.
It's perfect. Don't they say sometimes a God answers your, God hears your, God answers your prayers, but the answer is always no. Isn't that something they say sometimes?
Or God doesn't give you anything more than you can't handle, and you sure can handle a lot.
Jeez, so far, no upside to Christianity is what I'm hearing.
Oh, come on.
Just kidding.
What about the pancake suppers?
Pancake supper.
You're right, you got me there.
Yeah. Well, that took a turn. I'm surprised to hear this besmirching of God, but hopefully, maybe by the end of this episode, we'll appreciate it more. I don't know how. But Claude Akins was also in the Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And that was a Planet of the Apes movie in which John Huston was an ape. He put on ape makeup and he played an ape in that movie.
John Huston had a strange turn in his later career.
I reckon so.
Yeah.
He was an ape. Claude Akins was also in movies such as Monster in the Closet, The Shark Fighters, and The Human Jungle. So he had a great career.
Is that just a hairy fella or what is that?
The Human Jungle?
Yeah.
I don't know if I looked up the plot of that one. You want to know? I'll look it up right now. What the hell was the goddamn, this is what I'm typing into. What the hell is the goddamn Human Jungle? That's what I'm typing into Google. Wait a minute. It just seems to say, here we go. It was a film noir.
That makes sense.
France.
France.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Say here. Sodom.
A murder of a striptease dancer becomes someone's top priority. It's detectives and murder. And I don't know why it's called the Human Jungle. I thought it'd be like humans instead of trees. That's what I was picturing.
I'm starting a Christian cam girl account. And what it is.
Personally?
Oh, I love it. It's a Christian cam girl. And, you know, I thought maybe I shouldn't get into the sex work game. But I realize, you know, not only is it not allowing money and God to work in my life through my gifts, but also, you know, I can do it in a way that's still enticing to people, but, you know, keeps my boundary of my marriage. So what I do is I just, with my clients, I pray online that we aren't going to lose. I pray for one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one and hope to not lose myself in sexual, which is the hottest and more sexy thing you can do, is to pray while trying to not get excited.
Just a follow-up question. Are you clothed or nude during this?
I'm completely clothed.
Okay, wow. That is sexy.
And they can be nude. They can be nude. They can do whatever they want because I have nothing to do with it because I'm just trying to keep things together and make sure that they don't get too excited while also knowing that what I'm doing is getting them excited.
Wow. Did you say cam girl, by the way?
It's cam girl.
I never heard of that phrase before. That's that's like it used to be phone sex, but now it's on the cameras.
It's your own personal sex worker who checks in with you, and you pay him, I don't know, $40 to $250.
But you don't have to meet face to face.
You realize they live in Portland, and you wouldn't want to see him at the grocery store anyway.
Oh, good point.
And so then I just do my normal prayers, and then the assumption is I'm trying to not, I don't want them to be doing anything because I'm praying so hard.
But does that work out? Do they end up doing something?
Of course they do, because there's nothing more sexy than prayer.
And can you see
what they're doing? And trying not to do something.
Can you see what they're doing?
Oh, yes. I could say, stay with me. Don't do it. Don't touch your genitals. Do not cradle the balls or work the shaft. Do not do that. I am a married woman. Christ is with us. Christ be with you. And that's when they just explode.
Yeah, I imagine there's some fellas that are real into that.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it does. What is your camera number? How do I?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you just go to lotsdaughters.com, which is your major source for all things Christian.
Yeah. I'm going to have to break up with my current cam girl, Stax.
She's a lusty blonde.
Yeah.
A busty blonde. Yeah. Man, oh, man. Okay. Well, that sounds great. I love that. Because I like the idea of getting yelled at during sex. Doesn't have to be about God, but just any getting yelled at.
Yeah. It's a Christian kink.
Christian kink. ChristianKinks.com. Get on it. Well, this episode also has a woman from Ireland playing a woman from Germany. The actress's name is Fintan Myler. And how would you describe her accent in this episode?
Made up.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Crafted from whole cloth.
I teach a little bit of acting. Mm. And that's called the Euro.
Oh,
it's just a Euro. And you just, it's sort of with a little roll in the order. Then you will see something, and maybe it can be anything that you want. And it could be French, or it could be Italian.
That's amazing. How are you not the richest person on earth?
I don't understand it.
Every idea you have is gold mine.
It's like you left the room and 18 women from the greater European continent just paraded through here.
Yeah.
I mean, that is incredible.
It's wild. I never heard somebody be from so many different places in such a short period of time.
I felt like I watched a beauty pageant on Fast Forward.
Yeah, the Miss Universe.
Yeah.
Everybody around the world.
You guys, I could make us all improv millionaires right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, where is all this cash coming from? Do you see it?
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
And then we have to say yes, and it is a lot of cash.
Oh, and I'll put it inside the walls of my house.
Yeah, bury it behind the toilet. Oh, yeah. I have the tile that matches this tile. Bury the money. Wow. This one, Fintan Myler, it was in a movie called Zorro, where she played a character named Celestia Villagrana. I'd love to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what type of country she's from.
She's actually from Ireland. Did I say that? Her father was played by a fellow named John Wingraff, who was a Jewish fellow from Germany who escaped the Nazis and then spent his entire acting career playing Nazis. That must have been interesting.
Well, Sunday, did you like this? A Nazi who tried to take you away? No, jeez.
Yeah.
Is his situation the most extreme circumstance of making lemonade out of lemons?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I got chased out of my home country by Nazis, but I have this wonderful Nazi accent I can do.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, anyway, he seemed to make the most out of it.
That's what you do. If you get paralyzed in a diving accident, you have watercolors you can paint with your feet.
Joni.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that?
I watched Joni.
Oh, it was a 1970s film you could watch in the theater. It was really? A packed house. Oh. Joni, what happened? She was having a great day because she was 17 years old, and she just dove into a lake that had a very shallow bottom.
Now, we're talking like 2 feet, she dove headfirst.
And yeah. She wore a halo and was in a terrible, looked like a rotisserie chicken for half the movie until she learned that she could use a paintbrush in her mouth.
Yeah.
And people started buying her paintings. So can you believe that? It's good it happened.
Yeah.
Thank goodness she dove into that lake.
Another lemonade out of lemons. Now, listen, you saw that in the theater? Because I remember that was on TV and it was appointment television where we were all talking like, this Joni thing's going to be amazing. We went up to Save-On and got ice cream and then walked back and we're all ready and watched
Joni. What was it about it that you'd heard beforehand that made you so sure you was going
to
love it?
Did you not listen to what she said?
Okay, yeah, all right. I guess I heard it.
It's both a coming of age and a going of abilities.
And, amazing. Yeah, you can't do that at the same time.
God believes in you, so stop your bitching.
Yeah.
Is it based on a true story, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and that, I remember hearing that after, you know, Saturday Night Fever, everybody rushed out to the discos, and after Joni, everybody was just diving into as shallow waters they could find.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was a craze in the 70s.
But not everyone can watercolor.
That's right.
Nope, turns out.
With their feet or their mouth.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Here's it. Now there's a fellow in this show named Will Wright who played Micah Bailey. He's the station manager over there. And he's in some wonderful things. I have a great clip to show you. But he was in a movie called The 30-Foot Bride of Candy Rock and another one called Walk Softly, Stranger and another one called Mother Wore Tights and another one called Keeper of the Bees.
Not the beekeeper.
Nope. Keeper of the Bees. Another one called Here Comes Elmer. But the one I really want to show you the clip of here, he was in a short film called USSVD, Ship of Shame. That was in 1942. And somebody on YouTube was kind enough to cut together what must be all the best moments from USSVD, Ship of Shame. And this is a man, oh man. Each one of these scenes is a doctor and a sailor. And this doctor is a take no guff style fella. So here come all the best moments from USSVD, Ship of Shame.
You're the guy who said gonorrhea was no worse than a cold. Well, I'll bet you never had a cold that felt just like that, did you?
Oh, no. But gee, Doc, I'm only human. It's a biological urge.
We didn't say it was criminal. We just said if you did, to protect yourself. You were taught to pull in your rear when bullets were flying over you, weren't you?
Sure, Doc, but...
Then why the hell expose your front?
I must have got it on a toilet seat, Doc.
Now that's a hell of a place to take a girl. And you, did you use a rubber?
No, Doc. She said she was married.
There you go.
Gosh, that's wonderful.
Wow. That's good stuff. Can you imagine how entertaining that must have been when they showed that on the ship to all the sailors in the Navy in 1942?
She was married.
Yeah.
So
how come you didn't use a rubber? Well, she said she was married.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
If she was married, her or her husband have never had sex before, so they must be clean. So I'm only breaking up a home, not getting VD.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Yeah. Exactly.
My husband took me on a date to a toilet seat.
Oh, no.
Really?
But that's because we were at Home Depot and it was fun.
Oh.
You know, that reminds me. Speaking of entrepreneurship, I could use a couple of pointers. I once opened an eating establishment called a restaurant. But I called it a restroom, R-E-S-T-A-U-R-O-O-M. And you just sat on the crapper while you ate and you didn't have to go up to the restroom if you felt like you had to do. You just do it all while you're eating.
So everybody, when you come to the restaurant, you are shown to a toilet.
Two toilets on a two-top table, four on a four-top.
Okay, and then the server brings you your food.
And a roll of toilet paper.
And a roll of toilet paper.
I am spitballing this as we go, but that...
Yeah. Okay.
Does this check out? Would that make money?
That's wonderful. Everything makes money. I'm attracting millions of dollars to my head every few seconds. You got to be positive. That's what Joel O says. He says you know, God rewards those who use the present tense in every sentence. I am right now and always.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. Well, I'd like to eat at your restaurant. This is a yes vote for the restaurant room. Because it is cumbersome to have to say, excuse me. You know, you're sitting at a table, you're enjoying yourself, you're in the middle of a conversation, you have to say, excuse me, I'm going to get them to use the bathroom. Right. And then it tends to be like halfway across the room or whatever, and then you're supposed to wash your hands and all that. This sounds like you're not even washing your hands, right?
Well, you don't need to because you're not touching anything.
Exactly.
You're already there, you let it go, and then when you're done, sure, you clean up and wash your hands one time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I could just ask you if I could use that copyrighted idea for our mega church, seeing as if it will be on a hog sluice of fecal matter, you know, maybe we could just have that as an extra service during the service, which will run 3 to 4 hours. You know, if you have to go, you go.
Yeah. And I would like to further give you this gift where you say, now please open up the book of John and open up your John.
Beautiful.
Let's go. Yeah.
And I'd say you're going to also want to have your portable air freshener vapes on you at all times.
That is so
in these situations, we're solving all these problems.
This is really something. This is business synergy.
I know. It's wild. We should probably edit all this out so nobody steals these ideas before we can implement them.
Yeah.
All right. So far, hello, welcome to the show, Bananas for Bonanza, and we're talking about this episode. We can't play anything we said so far, there's too many good ideas in it.
So many people are going to get VD now because they didn't hear that warning.
Oh, you're right. Maybe we'll go back and dip back into that. I'll put it in later.
Okay.
Last person I want to tell you about is Bud Osborne. He played the stagecoach driver, Charlie. Now, I didn't even think about it watching. I said to myself, well, that's an old-timey actor there, but this fella was really driving those horses. He was really driving that stagecoach, and it turns out that he was the guy for like 50 years. Anytime you wanted somebody to actually drive a stagecoach, you hired Bud Osborne. He's got the longest resume I've ever seen in my life, and that's just the guy.
He's the Andy Serkis of stagecoach driving.
That's what it is. If you got a shot where there's a real stagecoach driving through the wilderness, you said, well, we got to call Bud. I mean, we can get Bud.
Did he work on the movie Stagecoach?
He must have. He worked in the Buffalo Bill Wild West show when he was a youngster. He was also in a movie. His resume, I fell asleep 3 times reading his resume. And one of the times I woke up and the words I saw before me were The Monster and the Ape. And I looked it up. He was in this wonderful movie. The Monster is a robot created by a professor. After displaying his invention, the robot is stolen by Professor Ernst with the aid of his trained ape, Thor. So the monster's a robot. And is stolen by a man with a trained ape.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how or why there was a stagecoach in that movie. But there must have had to been, I suppose.
Wonder who plays the ape and the robot.
Was a bear from BJ and the Bear.
Yeah, would you rather be in the ape suit or the robot suit? Okay, here it is. It's day one of shooting on the monster and the ape. And you guys have both been hired, and they're giving you a choice. Do you want to be in the robot costume or the ape costume?
The robot.
Why?
Because it's cooler, because it's high tech, and so there's probably some air conditioning inside of it. It's been designed with thought. And also, everyone's scared of people in ape costumes. You see human eyes inside of an ape costume, and it makes you want to leave the party.
Yep. Okay.
Well, I have to say, I'm happy taking the ape costume. I find it'd be pliable.
Yeah.
And I do like to jank off in public with impunity.
So. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's easier to do in there in the roomy old ape costume.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think, which one would you rather have everything but the head on? You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to spend a lot of your downtime like that.
Oh, right.
And
oh.
I think it's...
Do I get smokes?
Yeah, sure, you get smokes.
And to clarify, is this like a Lost in Space one-piece robot, or is it like the Metropolis sexy robot that's very articulate? I mean, what is she
Not sexy. It's like a metal barrel kind of on your torso. Your torso is a metal barrel.
But I can spin.
Sure. Absolutely. All right.
Well, as long as I can spin like a cement truck.
Wait, and I can't spin?
No spinning.
I'm out.
You can train an ape to steal a robot, but not spin around in circles.
If I can't spin, forget it.
All right.
Well, is there a role where a guy's just wearing a barrel going over Niagara Falls? Because I think I could spin in that. I'd take that, even if it's no lines.
You have no choice but to spin. Okay. You can do whatever the waves tell you to do.
All right.
Man, oh, man. People used to love to do that, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did.
Go over them Niagara Falls in a barrel. Did anybody ever survive it? I guess somebody must have.
Somebody must have. I once did read up on that.
Oh, you did?
I don't remember anything about it,
though. All right. Well, that's all the fun facts. I think we can just about head on into the episode. Let's you guys ready to talk about episode 23?
Yes.
Hot dog. Okay. How long have we been talking, by the way? Do you got a timer?
Well, about 37 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's perfect. That's just how it's been.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so here we go. This episode begins with Hoss and Joe loading hay onto a wagon, and they're razzing each other about how much work they're doing, and little Joe is just, he's looking at, is this the hunkiest we've ever seen little Joe look on the show?
Look at him.
He's wet.
Yeah, he's sweating and his shirt is all open, and I'd say this is hunkiest little Joe of all time. Then Adam and a fella named Dave come in, and Dave is just the sweetest, nicest fella you'd ever want to meet.
There's no way anything could go afoul with him.
Nope, he's just
sweet.
A wonderful man. In fact, he and Adam are going to a dance together in Virginia City to tell us.
Well, not before he offers to pitch in and help work and rips his shirt. That's no bother. He just wants to do some good deeds.
They've known him a month and he's blonde.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he has been working for Cartwright for a year, even though we've been watching about a year's worth of time and I've never seen this fella on
That's true.
Ponderosa Ranch.
Man, that moment when he rips his shirt, like it takes a little while before it happens, and then they show you the rip when he later, and it seems like, well, boy, this is going to be very important to the plot that he ripped his shirt. No. Keep your eye on that fact.
No.
Keep your no right.
No,
it didn't turn out to be. Not at all.
Not at all.
He got that shirt from St. Louis. Is that the Paris of fashions for the United States? Or did he say St. Louis?
Something like that.
St.
Yeah.
Louis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be a fancy shirt. So, okay, that happened. But then here comes Lobo. Sheriff Lobo comes in, and he's playing Marshall Dodd or Dowd, depending on which scene it is. And he comes in. He's got a rifle, and he intends to arrest Dave. And he clobbers him, right? He clobbers him in the face with that
Something
rifle.
Fierce, too.
Yeah, because Pod says, you half killed him.
Yeah, he must have had some prosthetic makeup effects on the edge of that gun that somehow, when he hit him, got stuck on his face in a real ham-handed way.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. But he knocked out Dave, and all the Cartwrights are upset. What are you doing? This is our friend Dave, sweetest man we ever did know. And Marshall Dodd says, well, I'm taking him in. He's arrested for murder.
Yep.
Can you believe it? And so next, then we get them opening credits, and we do see the burning map in this episode for, I believe, the 23rd time they put it in.
Wow.
Then we're in the living room of the Ponderosa, and everybody's hostile. Nobody likes this Marshall Dodd down. Yeah. He's got to show his credentials to Pa. Pa doesn't like him at all. And, things are tense, but ultimately the Marshal goes away with Dave. He brings him into Virginia City. He's going to take him on the stagecoach to Los Angeles, California.
Coming to Los Angeles, California.
Yeah.
My husband and I, we have a new card game that we do. It's for couples therapy. It's called Power Couple. Oh. And we just trade back and forth credentials. And whoever's in charge, then they're to blame for the whole day. Whoever gets the, you know, the credentials.
So the credentials is like a hot potato. You don't like want to be holding the credentials.
It. It's like, oh, you made dinner and it's all your fault. And then I get the credentials and then it's like, oh, but and then we go through all the stuff that I've done wrong. And then I pass it back to him. Anyways, it's a fun way to spend the night and learn more about your spouse and why they're so mad.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, yeah. It's an invitation to dump out all the things they blame you for. It's good to have that on the floor. Well, let's see here. Okay, after he's gone, this is when the shirt, Haas just says, I'm going to bring him a new shirt since he ripped his shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, boy, we're really tracking this shirt.
And he gets that shirt from St. Louis as well?
I think.
I believe so.
No, I thought it was from just in town, Virginia City. I did not think it was a special order.
Oh, yeah. I had that wrong, but that's too bad that he's got to wear a shirt from Virginia City.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and Paul is going to hire a lawyer. Paul happens to know a lawyer in Los Angeles. He's going to wire money there.
Larry H. Parker.
Is that his name?
Huh?
They said his name, Larry H. Parker.
Yeah.
All right.
The first.
Larry H. Parker, the first. Got to wire that guy some money so he can represent Dave in his trial and out there in Los Angeles. Well, now we see, I already talked about that scene. We go to Virginia City.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And this is where, because the fellas, the Cartwright, oh, wait, first they get rid of Little Joe. This episode started out with all four Cartwrights, and then they just cast off Little Joe. They say, the three of us are going off on an adventure for the next 42 minutes, and you are staying here on the ranch doing that hay business.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the last we see of Little Joe.
And then you lose Ben for quite some time, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They peel off Ben in a little while. Because now they go to Virginia City, and they see that old Dave has been beat up by Dodd Dowd in the jailhouse, and they don't know why, and they can't believe this marshal is being terrible to poor Dave, who's innocent until proven guilty, and everybody seems to agree he is not going to make it to Los Angeles alive.
Right.
Dowd is going to kill him on the way, and poor Dave is such a sad sack. He's constantly saying, oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die, and he's going to kill me. It's a sad situation. So that's when they say, oh, and then we meet our foreigners. Hey, why were they in the show at all?
Because there had to be a kiss.
That's right.
There needs to have a kiss so that there's any interest in watching for the female audience.
Yeah. She didn't need to be traveling with her father. He was kind of an appendage, but we did need a lady.
He was a doctor.
Yeah, I know.
but she didn't die, so we didn't need a lady.
I know. I thought you was going to die, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, so it's this couple from Austria, father, daughter, and they are going to Los Angeles, and they've got to go. And Sheriff Dowd is telling them, no, you can't go because I'm transporting a prisoner on the goddamn stagecoach and nobody else is going. But he can't really say that. He's not empowered to say that. So Ben and Haas and Adam intervene and say, these two can go to Los Angeles. And by the way, so are we going too, because we're going to protect our friend Dave from being killed by you on the way. So they get in the stagecoach with Charlie, and they head off to Los Angeles, don't they? Am I missing anything else?
No, that's right.
That's about, except there was a funny moment there. I enjoyed it when Haas seems like he's going to start some trouble with Dowd, and Dowd takes his shotgun and just pokes Haas in the belly with it. he just sticks his shotgun right in Haas's belly. And yeah, it was pretty funny. I thought Haas was going to giggle, give out a little Pillsbury boy. That's what I thought was happening. Well, okay, that's it. Now they're on their way. They're in transit, and Dodd has his gun on Adam. And when you're inside the stagecoach, some of the passengers are rocking with the movement of the coach, and others are not. Which is just an interesting thing about stagecoaches.
That happens sometimes in our Toyota van.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, I'll be rocking, and then my husband will just be completely still, and you'll see in the background desert passing.
Oh,
and even though we're in Van Nuys.
Isn't that wild?
Whoa.
And it's the same patch of desert again and again and again.
Yeah, I thought that was from, they was from different schools of acting, like Stella Adler teaches desert stagecoach acting, where Lee Strasberg, fuck that, we do city stuff here. And right. So those ones were ill-equipped.
See, that might have been it.
Yeah.
Yep. Where'd you learn to sit in a stagecoach?
Where did I learn who Lee Strasberg is? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Me neither.
Yeah. I don't like art. I'm a cowboy.
Well, Haas is complaining up on top. Haas has to ride up on top with Charlie. They've locked all their guns in a safe up there, per Dodd's instructions, Dodd. And at some point, there was a close-up of the stagecoach wheels. They really zeroed in on the wheels as it's going along. And you say, oh, boy, something's going to happen to them wheels. The wheels are going to come off, but they don't. At any time. Okay, now they pull up to a watering hole. Time to water the horses. And who do they see but this suspicious character who, by the way, we noticed a couple times in Virginia City.
Even though he says he wasn't in Virginia
City. He says he wasn't in Virginia City. His name is Herd, something Herd.
Yeah, Herd Cutler.
Herd Cutler.
Cutler.
And yeah, he says, my horse is hurt. I need to ride with you guys. In the stagecoach, he gets in the stagecoach, but Dodd takes his gun, and it seems pretty clear that Herd's got something to do with Dave or something. But how could it be? Because Dave is the sweetest fella you ever did meet in your whole life. He'd been falsely accused by Dodd of some murder. It's crazy.
For Christmas gifts over the holidays, it's really important for guests to have a strong box. That's a place where you can put in, and they can put in, all their weaponry. That's guns, knives, sharp forks, hair clips that you're a little worried that you're going to lunge at somebody.
Dynamite.
Just even you can, it can be a sort of a metaphorical strong box where you put in just ideas that you haven't want, like, oh, I don't want to reach out and twist anyone's tits. You put that into a strong box prior to Christmas, and it's so cute. It sits on top of the mantle, and it can be a new holiday tradition with your family.
That's a great idea. So you could say, Grandma's drinking. Put it in the strong box.
That's right. She's
holiday.
Not going to hurt anyone this year.
I don't not want to twist anyone's tits. Put it in the strong box.
Put it in the strong box.
Tit twisting in general. Tit twisting is in the strong box this year. Yeah. We put it away in the strong box for to have a nice goddamn Christmas.
Even if you think about it, then you hit the strong box, which may mean you're standing by the strong box all week because you can't get the thought out of your head once you thought about it.
Papa, is that strong box strong enough to hold all that titty twisting?
Why, sure. It's called a strong box, isn't it?
Okay.
They don't call it a kind of strong box or a weak box. Strong as hell. Hold anything in there.
Hold anything, even laying your hand on someone's genitals because you're Italian. Don't do it. Put it in the strong box, everybody.
Yep. Is that what did Mr. Cuomo say that? Is that who you're referring to? He said, look, yes, I put my hand on people's genitals because I'm Italian. Don't be prejudiced against me.
Oh, Rivers Cuomo from the band Weezer said
that?
Yep,
that's what he said. Oh, my God. I mean, people were surprised. And then they fired his brother. So now, there's a pretty lady. Oh, yeah. She's passing her water, sharing her water with Dave. She seems kind of sweet on Dave.
That's so nice. Yeah.
I want to show you. The only clip I could really think to show you from this episode is this one here, which I just enjoy because of the awkwardness of the three shot here where we got Charlie and Hoss.
Yeah, I noticed this too.
And Herd. And it's just, if you focus on Herd.
I can't understand how he's situated.
It's very confusing.
California. That godforsaken desert's California?
You ain't never been to California before?
Yeah, I've been to California. I've been to San Francisco lots of times, Charlie, but it sure didn't look nothing like that.
Well, this is Southern California. Stationed right beyond those hills there.
Southern California, huh?
Yep.
I can tell you one thing, Charlie. sure ain't gonna ever amount to much.
Oh, that's a terrible thing to say about El Monte.
He says he ain't never gonna amount to much in Southern California.
Little did he know about the food trucks.
Oh, yeah. Stupid hoss. Bad prediction.
Take one look at Zizix, California, and tell me how you feel.
Oh, yeah. ZZYXX, is that how
I think so, yeah.
That's, by the way, that fella, Bo, what's his name? Say, who,
Herd what, Cutler?
No, the fella who's driving the wagons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what his trademark was, he always had his chin strap on his chin. Most cowboys in films and television didn't do that, but he always did.
Of his cowboy hat?
Yeah, his cowboy hat.
Oh, wow.
He had his chin strap on.
Now, is that other fella, Herd, is he lying on his side, or how is there a seat for him? I don't understand.
It's a classic cheerleading stance where it's a pyramid. So he's on his knees with his head popping up because he's the tallest in the torso. And that's how it works. And that's how they had the tryouts. And there's no choice you can make about even if you had the better skill level.
Oh amen. Amen.
Day one of cheerleading practice is just torso measurement.
Well, no, you try out and you think you have the skills and they say, no, you're a bottom. We put you because you're the biggest and awaken. You make a sturdy pyramid.
There now.
Well, now that explains both the pom-pom and the pyramid tragedy bracelets, tragedy charms on your bracelet there.
Oh, I don't even want to bring it up. PTSD, I'm gonna crack open a grilled cheese vape.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like one of those.
Hey, I forgot to bring Schlitz's today for the game of Schlitz Playhouse of Stars, but there was a couple people who were on there. So anyway,
really?
Point is, you're entitled to a few sips of Schlitz.
Pour one out for the Schlitz.
Yeah, go ahead. You're entitled to get as drunk as you want, Amy, after what they pulled.
I mean, you've been through a lot.
Hell yeah. Now, when they pull up to the station house, Charlie says to Michael, or the other way around, he calls him, "You old highbinder." He says, get down here, you old highbinder.
What do you think that means?
Well, I looked it up, and it was there was a Chinese gang in New York called the Highbinders, and it came to become synonymous with corruption. Yep, whoa. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But there was something, there was a reference in this episode. We'll come up on it, and I'll tell you about it, that I Googled, and it had no results, and it's real weird. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Now, Michael here, the stage man, the station master, he says, only six for dinner? But how many more could there be? It's a full goddamn stagecoach.
Yeah, everyone knows a stagecoach seats six.
Yeah. Well, they go in, and so now they're at the station. Now, I guess the way this works is the station master's going to serve them dinner, and then they're all going to sleep in the dining room. Living room, main area, and station master is going to sleep in his quarters. But hell no, Dodd comes in. He says, that's not how it's working this time. Me and my prisoners are going to have one room all to ourselves, and the rest of you is I'm telling you where to sleep, and I'm taking all your guns, all the guns. This guy is really, what would you call him? He's like a...
He's an escape room manager.
Yeah, that's what he... Right, just like that, calling all the shots. Saying,
go on over there, and then you go over there, and here's the story, and you can't get out till I see you can get out.
Yeah, and this smoke alarm is not part of the escape room. Don't pull that handle. Sprinklers will go off. All that bullshit. That's just what they want you to know.
That is the same, because when you go to an escape room, they have lockers and then take like your phones from you, just like you take your guns.
Yep.
Holy shit.
My husband and I are starting an Airbnb escape room in our basement that's part of the fun is we tell you where to go and then we just lock you in there for the weekend and we don't let you out. There's no solution, but that's the fun of it is you're just frustrated.
So they spend the whole weekend, probably they don't get any sleep because they're thinking is,
we don't tell them the password.
Do you feed them?
It's under Blood of the Resurrection, but the Wi-Fi password is Pontius Pilate. That is how we know there's no food.
Wow.
That's what makes it so profitable is that It's, you know, there's real low overhead. And then the people are just delighted because they get the real experience of having been in prison.
I bet you get great reviews due to Stockholm Syndrome, but by two days and they love you.
That's exactly it.
I like, that's a good, you have a good plan there, because any bed and breakfast will tell you that it's the food, it's feeding them that eats into the profits. Don't do that. Yeah, that's smart. Oh, man.
There's a Keurig, though.
Oh, you got a Keurig down there? Where are the pods from?
Well, Keurig, Amazon.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Man, it is. I love
Have
it.
Have you ever ordered anything from Amazon? I just buy all my, all my business is everything from Amazon. Makes it so easy.
That's an online online bookstore, Amazon.
Well, I don't know, but I put anything in there and it comes to my house and I ship it right back out again.
Wow.
You guys seen that movie, The Human Amazon?
The Human Amazon? Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just a river full of men. Well, what do we got now? Okay, the horse is taken care of by Hoss. Hoss shot, takes care of the horse, and that's when we get the most wonderful lines of dialogue here, where the fellow says, "You better rustle your shanks for what did he say?
Wild beans and some side meat.
Wild beans and side meat.
Side meat.
Side meat.
What is side meat, for crying out loud?
Well, I mean, I once had a girlfriend I used to call side meat. She wasn't my steady girl, but
a piece of meat on the side. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, then they go in and they eat, and they're eating in silence. We get to watch. It feels like an hour, but it's probably just 20 seconds of total, complete eating silence.
Real time.
Yeah.
The Bonanza Cam. Tune in.
Exactly. But we do see that Dave and this lady, what's her name again? I'll forget. Whatever. They're hitting it off. Andrea. Dave and Andrea's hitting
Andrea.
It off. Yeah, right.
She sounds like a tune in radio.
And old Dave is complaining more about how sure he's going to get killed. And then Herd heads outside to have a cigar. And Dodd tells all the rest of them, "Hey, you're done eating. Go to your room." He sends everybody to their room.
He is the eternal father, isn't he?
He really is.
Claude.
Time for bed.
Yeah. Time for bed.
How about a story, Daddy?
Everybody pairs off to their room now. And now we get to see Dodd or Dowd all alone with Dave.
Oh, boy.
And brother, all of a sudden, we see a different side of Dave, don't we?
Yeah.
Dave is just, I swear to God, been the sweetest fella you ever wanted to know in your whole damn life. But now that he's alone with Dowd, he starts whistling a little tune. And then he says, "You know what that tune is? That was a tune whistled by a girl named Cora." And that's when Dodd punches him out. "Don't you dare say that name."
"And that's a human deer whistle, which my husband and I, if you whistle any of these songs, Uptown Girl by Billy Joel, Aha, Take on Me, or California,
from the OC?
OC. It causes violence in others, and it can be sort of a defense thing, so you be like,
Now, is that just between you and your husband, these songs?
Well, it is between.
What are you whistling?
Aha, Take on Me. Yeah. I was just doing
You just do the melody.
No, it enrages my husband, so I assume it would enrage others.
Oh.
So, but it's something you can keep in your back pocket if you're taken at the knees by somebody.
I see.
And they.
Oh my God. Oh Lord.
Oh my God.
Now, if you whistle those songs, it makes your husband crazy.
It makes him crazy, but it's in that one moment where they kind of lose consciousness because their eyes have turned yellow wolves.
Yeah.
And then you take them out. The power of natural whistling.
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, now, by the way, Dodd at some point claimed that he hasn't slept for over a year, he says.
I missed that.
Oh, yeah. Dave says, "When's the last time you slept?" And he says, "Been a little over a year." And, "Well, you must be getting real tired." to kind of like, I think Dave wants Dodd to fall asleep so he can get up to some shenanigans.
Oh, sure.
But and it happens. We get to see the moment. He sits down in a chair and he falls asleep, and then he wakes up and he sees that he sees his prisoner is asleep, and he walks around and he checks on everybody, and he can find everybody, but he can't find Herd. Yeah. Herd is not in his assigned sleeping place with Hoss and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Dodd goes outside, and Herd is in the stable, and Herd unleashes all the horses in a stampede of Dodd.
Right.
Of the marshal. And then, for a moment there, we got it's pitchfork versus shotgun.
Yeah.
And it seems like Herd is going to put a pitchfork into the marshal, but the marshal fires off a shot and kills Herd Cutler.
And boy, talking about spinning, that shot that he takes, he does a full pirouette like a ballet move. That was really something.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. He says, can I show off some of my ballet to the director in my final moment if you're not going to give me a line?
Why do you think we were cast?
So he goes down, but everybody's still so suspicious of this marshal. They come out and Adam is like, he murdered him. And Dodd is trying to say, no, you don't understand. Dave is a bad man. He's a murderer. That fellow there is his confederate. Nobody believes him.
Horses are everywhere. Yeah.
The horses have run wild.
They're gone.
It's bad news. And meanwhile, Dodd has been stampeded with horses. He broke all of his ribs. Luckily, Dr. Strasser is there to give him a very peculiar examination where he's like tickling his side with his fingers. It's very peculiar.
It's caterpillar energy work.
That's what it looked like, yes. Caterpillar energy work.
If I'm being
Austrian
honest,
caterpillar energy work.
I'm a bit more of a pianist than a doctor, but I'm a piano tuner, so I'm technically a piano doctor. So
let me help you, sir.
Let me tune up your ribs.
My daughter, she's Austrian, but she's also like Nell.
Right. Well, now Dodd deputizes Adam because Dodd says, hey, I know you and I don't see eye to eye. You think Dave is a wonderful person and innocent, and I say he's a murderer. But here I am laid up with broken bones. I have no choice but to deputize you. And this is something I don't think I've heard this before. If a marshal says, I have deputized you, you cannot refuse.
That's right.
There's no way.
That's the rules of the game. That's for deputizing.
Now, Adam is a deputy marshal. He can't do anything about it. That's his job. And he has to see to it that his buddy Dave makes it to Los Angeles for a trial.
Yep.
Now, there's a moment there where Dodd and Adam are talking. And Adam now, he's sort of like, Adam has a different attitude toward it. Not Dodd, but Dave. He has a different attitude toward Dave.
Because he's been deputized.
Just because he's been deputized, all of a sudden, he's very suspicious of Dave.
That's right.
And Dave at some point says to him, sure, I'm Billy the Kid or Jackass Sam, he says. Now, I went and Googled Jackass Sam. And absolutely nothing came up.
Nothing, huh?
This is the only reference anywhere in the world to somebody named Jackass Sam. Now, you go, yes, please, see if you can find anything.
Put it in the Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, Ask Jeeves who Jackass Sam is.
Do you have an Ask Jesus web search engine?
No. Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Because he knows everything.
I just put everything on lots, daughters. I drive all traffic to that one website because that's what my social media director said. You always just want it to be the one place for all product.
Are you finding anything of Jackass Sam?
No, but let me check somewhere else.
All right, he's got an idea where to check. Because I thought to myself, why would it be that the writer of this episode would invent a bandit on the level of Billy the Kid and name him Jackass Sam and put him in the script like that?
Well, it sounds like a bit of a throwaway name. Like, he didn't, thoughts more after that, I'd say, what's even more funny? You know, saying like you have to have three or four ideas in the two names. You know, Jackass, Fuck Chop Charlie. Now that has the two C's, and then cock and balls. Canane.
Uh-huh. So it's like, hey, well, who do you think I am? Billy the Kid or Charlie?
Fuck Chop Charlie.
Fuck Chop Charlie.
Cock and Balls Canane. Yeah, that's the key sound all over.
Yep, it works.
I thought it was lazy writing.
Yeah. Well, the other thing he could have done was to say, like, Jesse James or something like that. Or maybe Jesse James came later. I wish we could ask Donald Sanford.
A lot of thought went into it. I hate to say Bonanza. A lot of the time, it's distracted writing, which I really enjoy. Writing that, you know, somebody didn't take a second pass over.
Right.
And that's the whole series is a lot of distracted justice. Oh, we weren't paying attention. Turns out that guy was the bad guy. Oh, now we got him. Oh, the weather changes. Oh, it's him. And it's all, or she's dead. We got to close the curtains now because it's been over an hour since we started the show. Anyways, it's not really, it's just, that's the beauty of the show.
The beauty of the show, it's intuitive. Yeah. It comes up right from the gut.
It writes itself.
Never from the head.
Yeah. I almost thought they were going to start a news story right at the end of the show because they all got on that stagecoach.
Yeah.
And I thought, uh-oh, is it still happening?
Oh, yeah.
And then,
halfway through the story of Dave. And by the time the episode ends, that's about right. Now, what were the fruits of your searchings over
there? Nothing, friend. I couldn't find anything. You know, that reminds me, I was reading one of them James Bond books one time, and the author Ian Fleming had this turn of phrase, and I'd Google it, and I never could find out. I know what it means from the context of the book, but I've never seen it before else. Mm. And it's talking about, I think, a fellow who's fancying a lady, and he says, I was just cow simple for her.
Cow simple for her?
I was crazy legs cunt wagon for her. Right?
So, cunt wagon.
That's when a guy can really draw pussy, I mean.
Oh, wow.
No, Sleverson, I say you, that. No, but that is Christian. You know, just because I'm Christian doesn't mean I don't, you know, I'm not salt of the earth.
You're a little salty today.
You're a little salty.
I like when this. When does the cunt wagon get in? Oh, not till Friday? Yeah, that's how it was.
But it really gets in.
But when it gets in, it gets in. Well, now, here's where we learn, I guess, I think it's around here, is where we learn that that Dave killed Dowd's wife. Her name was Cora, and it went down like Dave was a bad man, and the marshal cornered her, but Dave had poisoned Cora's mind and, like, turned Cora to his side. And then in the moment when it was time for Dowd to shoot Dave, Dave used Cora as a human shield,
right.
And Dowd shot his own damn wife.
Old tuneless Cora.
Oh, yeah. Poor lady. So now, did we learn that then? I don't know. Maybe we learn it later.
So.
Oh, no, it's later.
Okay.
Who cares? But anyway.
Yeah, I missed that part because I went and I popped myself a mini Diet Coke because that's how I watch the show, is semi-distracted.
Oh, with one of them mini Diet Cokes.
A mini Diet Coke.
That's just the right size.
And then I crush it in one hand because you can.
Yeah.
That's what's nice about those. You don't have to dress up like the Hulk to do it.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. Well, Dave is making an ally of Andrea, and I think we're meant to understand this is just what happened to Cora. And Dave is really putting the moves on Andrea, and she calls him David at some point, and he says, oh, I like the way you say that. That's how my mother used to say it. Ooh. It's getting real creepy. Ooh. And then he says,
hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Down and they kiss, and he wants her to go get the keys from the marshal. Now, the marshal is in there with broken bones, but the keys to the strong box where all the guns is in his pocket, and she's not sure about it. And then that's when he said, this is the line that turns her. Listen, if anytime you need to convince somebody of anything, just say this and it'll do it. He says, I guess a back fence stray like me doesn't have the right to ask people for help.
Ooh.
That's all he needed to say. And she said, all right, I'll get the keys.
A
back fence stray like me.
Fence stray. And like he's a kitty cat?
Well, like the fancy strays will come to the front fence.
Yeah, oh, back good, fence good stray, looking I think is a tomcat who's out there making this noise. When they want to mate.
Does that work on lady cats? Because I hear it and I think I don't want any part of it.
You try it on Stacks, it'll work, let me tell you.
Oh, brother.
Oh boy. Now, I learned that from the fella who was my best man at my wedding, Slut Eubanks. Uh-huh. He taught me how to do that as a type of mating call, and it works cross species.
Now, Andrea comes in there to get the keys off of Dodd, but in there is her father, the doctor. And her father says, I gave him some medicine, and he ain't going to move but an eyelid till morning. And then he says, okay, well, let's get going to bed. And she says, well, I'll hang out here for a minute. And she doesn't give any reason, and there is no conceivable reason, that she would stay alone in the room with an unconscious man while her father goes off to bed. But he accepts it. He says,
unless
all
she's
right.
Italian. Right?
Better she learns it this way than I had to have a talk with her.
All right, you have your way with him. He is, as I say, out, down for the count till morning. So enjoy yourself, I guess is the subtext. He leaves, and she then steals the keys to the strongbox with the guns.
Yes.
But it turns out the Dowd was awake after all.
Wow.
And he noticed that she did that. So now she gives the keys to Dave. Dave unlocks the keys and Adam hears something. Dave unlocks the shackles now. Yeah. He's unshackled. Adam hears something. He comes in and now it's Adam versus Dave and it's got to be fists. Because although at some point Dave throws his chains and it makes a cartoon sound over Adam's head. But that's the only weapon. Other than that, it's just fists flying.
Yeah, yeah.
And who do you think wins, for heaven's sake? Of course it's Adam.
Of course.
Of course it's Adam. And very quickly pummels Dave to the ground and he's pummeling him and pummeling him. And that's when Dowd comes around with his shotgun now. He's injured. But he's got his shotgun and his head is full of morphine, I guess. He says, Adam, you punch him one more time and I'll shoot you. This is a real reversal. He's been beating up on Dave throughout this whole episode. And then he says to him, something like, my whole life, all I wanted to do was kill this guy. But now I see you punching him and I don't want to be what you are.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's a snap judgment.
Yeah.
I don't want to be what I made you be.
I have been for years furious to the point of murder with this man, and I've been beating him up ever since I saw him, and then I deputized you, and now you're beating him up, and I don't want to become what you are.
Maybe the problem is the badge.
Yeah, the problem is the badge. So the end of this episode, Dave is, after all, headed off to Los Angeles to face trial, and Adam and Hoss are going with him, and I guess that lawyer, Larry S. Parker,
H. Parker,
or H. Parker, is going to defend him, even though now we know he's a murderer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, I was just realizing we don't have all that many episodes left, much less in the show, but this season, like it's in the foreseeable future, we're going to get out of season one of Bonanza. Ain't that a crime?
Oh, that's true. Season one of Bonanza. I don't know how many episodes are in the season.
30 or something?
There's 30, and this was episode 23.
Oh, no.
Do you know, this is going to make you guys sad, there's only 407 episodes left of Bonanza.
Oh.
And if we keep doing them at this pace, we only have 61 more years of doing this.
Jeez.
So that's pretty rough.
We're working ourselves out of a job.
I know, kidding. I know we got to slow down. We got to slow down.
I just said brother. By that. Now, forgot. I want to take this moment to say with great setup and importance that I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
I have a Christmas box, lotsdaughters.com.
Uh-huh.
It's boxes that I ordered off Amazon that are wooden boxes. And then I resend them to you and they have locks on them. And you put only one person in your family has a key. Don't give it to the male of the family. Because if they're anyway from the age of 50 to 75, they are the more likely to commit suicide with it or use it on your family. So the key goes to one of the kids.
And this is specifically a wooden box to keep your gun in.
Keep your guns, and keep anything that's of danger that you consider to be problematic or could be used in a court of law as something as to damage someone. So that can be, you know, old letters from a lover, but it can also be, you know, sharp sharp things or just ideas.
This is that strong box we were talking about.
Strong box. Yeah.
And give the keys to the children. All right. That's good to know. Smart.
Don't let Dad have them. He's not feeling good lately because of SADS, seasonal affective disorder.
Oh, yeah. That's a serious
And a lower testosterone as you age.
Is that? No. Obviously, that's, I eat enough mesquite beans that I get all the testosterone. Yeah, those are pure testosterone.
I'm oozing testosterone.
Yeah. Dangerously high oozing, testosterone. Not losing. Yep.
I'm trying to get vapes that instead of nicotine have testosterone, and then they just smell of salt. Oh,
that's a great idea.
What does estrogen smell like?
Oh, that it smells of bloody meat. Is that okay? I shouldn't have shared that mixed company.
No, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I love all your ideas you told us about today, and I don't know if this is going to air after Christmas, but if it's, who cares? Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry everybody. Christmas and Happy Wanza, New Year.
If you're an atheist, we hope you get the laundry done.
Enjoy your Chinese food.
All right, folks, that's our episode, and we're sure glad you joined us. And we'll see you next time. It'll be 2020 goddamn 2 some shit. All right, sign off.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris, and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gorley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Ackerman. We'll see you next time.